Thank you for spending another midweek moment with the Wisconsin Property Taxpayers. Last time I checked, I'm Paul Roseski. Today is Wednesday, July 16th, 2025, and we are smack dab in the middle of stacking up some standard Wisconsin summer days. Decently hot, usually sunny, throwing some humidity, and as we get later, the potential of rain or maybe some storms as the day goes along. Yesterday was the unofficial midpoint of the Major League Baseball season, the All-Star Game. It ended in a 6-6 tie. Reminds me back when it was held in Milwaukee and ended in a tie. Such a scandal for the baseball nerds, you would have thought the world was ending. Today, nobody seems to care. How times have changed. Looking ahead, there's a bunch of county fairs and events going on, and whether you do that or planning on going to EAA next week or anything in between, please celebrate responsibly. Now then, let's jump into some news together. And since the podcast was on hiatus last week, let's start everybody out with a treat and dip into the You Can't Make This Stuff Up file. And let's head to awesome little Spooner, Wisconsin, and meet 15-year-old Max McKinney. He's one hard-working go-getter, lives on a farm, and this summer he's pulling down three jobs. He works for a canoe rental outfit, and on the side he umps some Little League games and does some babysitting. It's impressive, and that isn't even the unbelievable part of the story. It started with an idea last year and became a 6 foot by 15 foot shed at the end of the driveway of his grandpa's farm. Max spent a month cutting wood and nailing boards to set it up, and it turned into a little bait stand. He was selling the worms he raised in his parents' garage over the winter and had it open for the beginning of fishing season. After a week or so, he added some candy, some soda, and some t-shirts that said Spooner Lake Bait Shop. Well, within 3 weeks, young Max received a cease and desist letter from Washburn County officials telling him to shut down or face daily fines. Max didn't have a permit. And since the farm is zoned agricultural and it wasn't a vegetable stand selling vegetables, he had to shut his shed doors. I don't doubt that they had every right to shut him down according to the letter of the law. But seriously, frustrating part number one is that Washburn County officials received an anonymous complaint which put it on the radar. So either that person was a competing bait shop owner, which would have been kind of scummy, or a neighbor simply throwing a high schooler's hard work side hustle under the bus. Either way, not impressed. Second, folks with the county never even came out to see the shed or have a conversation with him or grandpa. They just sent a threatening cease and desist letter to a 15-year-old. Again, not impressed. I wonder if it was a folding table instead of a shed with a roof, would it have had the same issue? Not sure. Who knows? But fair warning, if you live in Washburn County and your kids want to put up a lemonade stand for a couple consecutive days, they may find themselves on the wrong side of the law. In other news, I might call this one, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Why? Because our state just passed a couple of laws to move Wisconsin forward with utilizing nuclear as a power source, since our energy needs, both on the retail side, on the commercial side, and for data centers, are quickly and aggressively increasing. First, the legislature tasked the Public Service Commission to research and identify potential nuclear power sites and determine what would go there, whether it's full or modular reactors, fission or fusion reactors. Let's start to figure this out. Second, they mandated creating a nuclear power board that will host a nuclear power summit here in Wisconsin. Sounds good. Let's move the ball forward. But really, all that was accomplished is putting together two studies. When I looked into it further, the nuclear summit is to be held within 1 month of the instruction starting for the first time at the new UW Engineering building. Unfortunately, it's not scheduled to be completed until 2028. Yep, upon further review, sure looks and feels like another example of our state not really having a sense of urgency on accomplishing something. Let's commission a study and commit to doing something 3 or 4 years from now. Meanwhile, the inaugural Pennsylvania Energy and Innovation Summit was held in Pittsburgh yesterday. You know who showed up? A whole list of companies like Google and private equity firms like Blackstone and politicians, including the president himself, talking about how in total, between energy and data centers and infrastructure, there's going to be way over $50 billion in investments that have already been committed in Pennsylvania alone. Now, granted, there are 3 data centers proposed for Wisconsin, and a 4th potential data center in Dane County was announced just this week. But it already feels like we're behind the 8-ball. In economics, the first to the market has a distinct advantage for being successful. And in this race for investment dollars, the starter's pistol has already fired, but instead of running, Wisconsin government is thinking about running, and they want to look at the course first. Meanwhile, we're falling behind cities like Pittsburgh, and they're not even our biggest threat. Atlanta is already breaking ground on a nuclear reactor, and there are cities like Austin that are already technology and innovation hubs where investment capital is already drawn to. I mean, heck, Austin already has 3 driverless taxi companies operating within its city limits. We don't even have 1 in our entire state. So there you go. And what do the first 2 stories tell us? It's that when left to its own devices, the bureaucracy is disappointingly consistent. And finally, I'm here to answer some questions on an issue that's been getting a lot of publicity, and that's the changes to Medicaid in the federal tax and spending bill, better known as the BBB, whether you want to call it the big beautiful bill or the big bloated bill. One of the things it did was change the requirements for childless adults to qualify for Medicaid. In Wisconsin, we're talking about 192,000 childless adults enrolled in Badger Care. Of those, 63,000 of them could be at risk of losing coverage. So I was curious to know what it took to stay eligible. The first magic number is 80 hours per month. If someone can prove they are working, volunteering, or in school for that time, essentially 20 hours per week, they can stay on Badger Care Plus. You can also stay eligible if you're the parent or guardian of a child under 14 years of age that has extra needs and that parent is acting as their caregiver. You're also still eligible if you're on Social Security income assistance or Social Security disability income. Either way, you're covered. Next is the exception in category of mentally frail, which is the catch-all category for people with disabilities, serious conditions, a mental health diagnosis, or substance abuse disorder. That's a pretty big group of people that have an exception. You can also get an exception if you're pregnant or postpartum. You can also get an exception for something called short-term hardship. If you're hospitalized or ill or have transportation issues, I haven't gone down the rabbit hole on that one, but it seems kind of like a vague catch-all. And in spite of the political rhetoric of the Republicans doing this and changing these rules because they're simply just cruel, it seems like they tried to think of a lot of exceptions for folks that are vulnerable. And I'm pretty sure it's not perfect, and they may have missed a few details, because I saw someone question whether adult caretakers should be added to the list. Someone that's caring for a spouse, caring for an aging parent, it's a reasonable question. One other notable point for Wisconsin specifically is that although the federal Medicaid program covers postpartum women until 12 months after their child is born, Wisconsin only covers the first 2 months. There was legislation last session to extend Wisconsin's coverage to match the federal, but it didn't make it to the governor's desk. This session, it was reintroduced, and it might make it across the finish line. We will have to wait and see. The good news is that these changes aren't going into effect until at least 2027. So our slow moving, let's think about it government, still has time to communicate this. The last and most telling detail I will share was buried in a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article where they admitted that most experts say that the biggest reason people will lose their coverage isn't because of the eligibility changes, it will be from user error because of changes to paperwork or how to report their work hours. And heck, these changes will probably get delayed and kicked down the road even further than a year and a half out. So if it does happen, hopefully we can minimize the hiccups and try to keep from overreacting about something that will impact less than 1.069% of Wisconsin's population. And finally, because it has been nearly half a month since you heard it, I leave you once again with a quote from the very, very quotable POTUS number 43, George W. Bush, who got it spot on when he said, "Our view is that taxpayer dollars should be spent wisely or not at all." And in rereading that today, actually, I realized the question is, what percent of taxpayer dollars are spent wisely? Despite of that scary question, have a great second half of your week, and as always, thanks for listening. Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Inc. is a nonpartisan membership organization consisting of thousands of small business, farm, and homeowner members in every humid corner of the state. Founded in 1985, the organization is committed to providing its members with up-to-date information, legislative advocacy, and exclusive cost-saving benefits. Find out how to join at wptonline.org/join.